awesome passage of Scripture tonight, 2 Kings chapter number 20. Again, we find ourselves in the life of Hezekiah. This was the most godly king that the nation of Judah knew in the southern tribes. We understand that from chapter 18, verse number 5, that there was none before him nor none after him, like the kings of like him in the kings of Judah. We know that his name, Hezekiah, means that the Lord strengthens. And we saw how God has used this man to strengthen the nation of Israel, the nation of Judah, how he went in and did spiritual work and renovation of the temple and renovation of their heart and got them in a position where they could worship the Lord again, got them in a position where they loved the Lord, in a position where God was able to move and bless them and had done such a mighty and wonderful work. And this he did early in his reign. Last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the 14th year of his reign. This was a battle that took place with the king of Assyria. Assyria was the nation that took the northern tribes into captivity. They were feeling their oats, and they thought they could come against the southern tribe. So they had pot shot and picked off a few of the outlying cities of the tribe of Judah, but now they were fastening their attention on Jerusalem, where Hezekiah was and where the palace was and so on and so forth. And so as they're moving in to take this, we have seen how they were an intimidating force, blowing out a bunch of lies about God, about themselves, trying to scare the nation of Israel, trying to scare the king, trying to scare the nation away from the godly leadership that they had in their life. And we found how that did not work. And so the response back from Hezekiah was he had anchored the people in God's word. And I want to say this. There's no greater anchor in life than the anchor of God's word. Man, I don't know about you, but I find myself a lot of times having to go back to the Bible and literally taking my Bible and opening up and laying it on the desk and saying, God, this is what you said. This is what I did. I have nothing else to stand on except this book. Have you ever done that? You ever done that? Say amen. I tell you, the strength, the security, the peace, the joy, the settledness that the Bible brings to our lives. I really, truly feel sorry for people who don't know the anchoring of the Word of God. And so Hezekiah had anchored the people according to the Word of God. And here's this nation telling him that, to use the Bible's own words, they're going to eat their dung and drink their own piss. That's what it said. And they're surrounded, and they're getting ready they're saying all of this intimidating stuff to them, but that king had taken those people to the Word of God, and the Bible said that they didn't even say a word. They rested themselves in the Word of God. You talk about rest, and I mean sweet rest, when you rest upon the Word of God. And so we saw last week how that God intervened in the nation and how God used Hezekiah and how God worked and did a miraculous work of victory in their life. The promise was in 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 34, God said, I'm going to defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Verse 35 says, and it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. That's 185,000 men. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. That doesn't mean the dead people arose and found themselves dead. That just means when the army woke up, 185,000 of them were dead. You imagine that? You imagine you go to bed thinking you're going to destroy these people, and you wake up and half your army's just dead. I want to say this. Jesus Christ is the true victory. One day the world is going to wake up. There's going to be dead corpses everywhere. The Bible said that the blood will literally run to the bridle of the horse. And they're going to be surrounded around Jerusalem, and they're going to be mocking God, and they're going to be blaspheming God, and they're going to think themselves to be all of this. And Jesus is going to speak a word, and they're going to be dead. I'm glad I'm on Jesus' team. And so they wake up and they're dead. God had promised that he would take care of Sennacherib. And you look at verse 36. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. It came to pass as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adrammelech and Sharezer, his sons, smote him with the sword. They escaped into the land of Armenia, and Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. And so just like God promised, he protected the nation. You move into chapter number 20, and we move into a very personal moment in the life of Hezekiah. It is a fascinating moment, as we're about to see his position. Look, if you would, at verse number 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick. He was sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. You talk about a 180 in your Bible reading. You talk about going from the epitome of celebrating a victory that God has done in a miraculous way, to now God sending the same man that said you were going to have victory. He sends the same man and looks the king in the face and says, get ready, buddy, you're going to die. He goes on in verse number 2 to give you his response. Then he turned his face to the wall, and he prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember, I would underline that word, remember, if I was you. It's a very important word. Remember now, it ought to be part of your prayer. Remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass afore Isaiah was gone into the middle court. Now Isaiah had just told him he's going to die. Hezekiah rolls over, faces the wall, probably in a fetal position, and begins to pray. And before Isaiah can get out of the court, God comes to Isaiah. And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again, go back, and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. That ought to make every Christian here say, Amen. I have heard thy prayer. It's fascinating. I have seen thy tears. Do you weep when you pray? God sees tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years. Fascinating. And I will deliver thee in this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, Take a lump of figs, and they took and laid it on the boil. So he has a boil on his body that's evidencing the sickness that he's going to die, and they have some medicinal way of putting a lump of figs on there. And he recovered. Verse 8 is a little bit just giving us some help here. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day. And Isaiah said, this sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he has spoken. Shall, he's asking him now, shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, it's a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. That would be normal. Nay, but let the shadow return backwards 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. I would say we serve an awesome God. Somewhere by verse number 11, if you have a habit of writing in your Bible, you should write Isaiah chapter 38. We'll go there in just a moment. But that is where Isaiah chapter 38 picks up in our narrative. And so here we have an event in the life of Hezekiah where God comes to him and God tells him, you're going to die. Get your house in order. You have a sentence of death. You have a prayer for life. And you have a sign of the promise. I know this to be a physical account, and I believe this to be real in the life of Hezekiah, and I know it is. But I do believe that there's wonderful application in this physical account of our spiritual birth in Christ. Scholars want to say, and Bible students want to go back and forth and say, why did God allow a sickness unto death? Did Hezekiah do some kind of sin? Was he guilty of something? I don't know. From the text in verse number 1, somehow his house was out of order. Now I want to say something about this to every man who's married in the head of your house. Or I want to say this to every woman who does not have a man and you're the head of your house. It is the responsibility of all Christians to have their house in order. God wants a house of order. God is not a God of confusion or chaos. It does matter to God about the spiritual, physical, emotional part of your home, financial part of your home, the relational part of your home. I would submit to you, men, if you died tonight, what kind of shape would your home be in without you? You have a responsibility to have your house in order. God got Hezekiah's attention, and he got it through his life. And he said, Hezekiah, you're going to die. Get it in order. Now, in Hezekiah's situation, I believe he's talking about here an heir to the throne. There was no heir to the throne. And Hezekiah knew that there was no heir to the throne. I'll show you this in just a moment. And for some reason, God is impressing upon him to get his house in order. And he's setting an appointment that he's going to die. By the way, everybody in this room has an appointment with death. Give you just a little bit of a point of study. Might help you if you're a Bible student. I used to say, well, you have an appointed time, you're going to die. And then I started looking in the Bible to find where the Bible says you have an appointed time. Bible doesn't necessarily say you have an appointed time. It says you have an appointment with death. For example, if you honor your mother and your father, you will live long upon the earth. So your time upon the earth can be dominated by your behavior. Point in case, Paul said to the church at Corinth, because of your behavior, Christian, some of you are sick, some of you are weak, some of you sleep, which talks about death. So we kind of have this, well, when it's your time to go, it's your time to go. I'm not necessarily sure about that. When you have a time, we all have an appointment with death, for it is appointed unto man once to die. And man will die because sin is upon the earth. The Bible says, as sin came upon the earth, death passed upon all men. If you believe that man has an appointment with death, say amen. Nobody will escape it. Nobody. So Isaiah confronts Hezekiah and he says, your time is soon. I don't know if I would like to know when I'm going to die or not know when I'm going to die. I don't know. Sometimes you think, well, if I knew when I was going to die, I would change my behavior or do all this. I don't know. They tell people if you keep smoking, you're going to die. They keep smoking. I've seen them stick it in the hole right here just so they could have it. You know, so I'm not necessarily sure what the motivator death always is. But he comes to Hezekiah and he says, you're going to die. Now, Hezekiah didn't want to die. He's a young man. He's in the prime of his life. And so the effect of Hezekiah was he turned his face to the wall on his bed and he prayed. And he prayed a prayer to the Lord that was a prayer of life. By the way, all people that are under the sentence of death had better have a prayer of life. And we better not only have the prayer of life, we better have the person of life, and that's Jesus Christ. Okay? So the effect of him is he turns and he faces the wall. I don't know how you handle heavy news. I don't know if you've ever laid in your bed weeping and faced the wall and cried unto God. This is what Hezekiah is doing. And God hears his prayer. I love the speed at which God hears his prayer, and I love the speed at which God answers prayer. I believe that God can answer prayer immediately. Sometimes we may not see the effect of it, but as the prayers go up, the blessings come down is what we used to sing. As the prayers go up, the blessings come down. And so here's his prayer. It's a very interesting prayer. I beseech thee, I beg thee, O Lord, remember how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept. Now, when you initially read that, you think that Hezekiah is looking at his life and Hezekiah is saying, I deserve better. Boy, I hear people tell God that all the time. I deserve better. I don't deserve to be sick. I don't deserve to go through this. I don't deserve this. It's not what he's saying. Prayer doesn't get answered on our deserving. Prayer gets answered according to the word of God. Please listen to your pastor tonight. This message will change your life. Go to 1 Kings chapter 2. Look, if you would, at verse 1. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Nobody escapes death. We live like we're going to escape it, but nobody escapes it. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. That the Lord may continue, what class? Which he spake concerning, say it, me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. Pretty powerful verse. Go, if you would, to 2 Chronicles chapter 6. I'm putting a puzzle together. I need you to pick the pieces. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Are you there? All right. Now therefore, O Lord God of Israel, This is Solomon here saying this. Keep with thy servant, David, my father, that which thou hast, what class? Okay, get to verse 16. Let's go. English, por favor. Now therefore, O Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant, David, my father, which thou hast, what class? Promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit upon the throne of Israel. Yet, so that thy children take heed to their way to walk in my law, as thou hast walked before me. Come back to 2 Kings chapter 21. Verse number 1. Manasseh was, say those two words, 12 years old. How many years did God give Hezekiah? So in the course of those 15 years, Manasseh is conceived. Okay. Hezekiah, get your house in order. You're going to die. Death sentence. Hezekiah flips on his bed, faces the wall, prays. And he prays a prayer so powerful that God extends his life 15 years. Fascinating. When you read the passage, it looks like he's braggadocious and arrogant and deserving. Don't you dare let me die. I don't deserve to die. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, remember your promise. You promised David that if your people would walk in truth, if they would have a perfect heart, if they would obey you, that there would always be a person on the throne. There's no heir, God. You can't break your promise. I have lived like you said for me to live. Not in a braggadocious way. I lived based on your promise. I lived based on what you did. I've honored you. You said there was none like me before, none after. I've trusted you. I've loved you. I've walked in your ways. And so you promised David that as long as that would, there would be an heir. And God said, I'll give you 15 more years. Understand something, people. God has exalted his word above his name. He will not break his word. So when you pray, you want to pray having found the will of God in the word of God. Your prayer for your life ought to always be, God, remember, this is what I'm standing on. This is what I'm hoping on. God, this is your word. He had a sentence of death, but he prayed a prayer of life, and God extended his physical life. Well, listen, I had a sentence of death spiritually. I deserved that second death just like you did, but I had a promise that if I believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, I called upon his name, I repented of my sin, I put my faith in him, I would have eternal life, and God keeps that promise. Fascinating. He goes on in his motivation. If you look at, don't turn me down too much. I like to be loud. I get loud. Don't pump me. They can handle loud. They're tough people. And it came to pass, or look at verse number 6. When God said that he was going to do this work, he said he would do this work in defending the city. Hezekiah, I don't think, wanted to live for himself. Hezekiah wanted to live for the glory of God. By the way, that ought to be the goal of our life. You know why most of our prayers don't get answered? They're for our own glory, not God's glory. You want to get your prayers answered? You got to know God's book. And you got to care about God's glory. No matter what happens to you, that has to be the motivation. And God answered that prayer. God gave him a sign. And the sign for the promise was that he enabled the shadow to go back 10 degrees. If you want to make reference to our salvation, I had a sentence of death. The Bible says, for the wage of sin is death. Everybody that's born of a woman has the sentence of death, spiritual death. If you're here tonight and you've never been born again, you are still under the sentence of spiritual death. If you die without repenting and receiving Christ, you will experience that sentence of death. The announcement to you is there is life in Jesus Christ. And you must believe upon him, call upon him, and receive him. Pastor, how do you know? Because God gave us a sign. And the sign is found in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verse number 20. I'll read it to you. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. To Hezekiah, God moved the shadow back 10 degrees to show that he would have life. For you and I, up from the grave he arose, and that is a sign that we can have eternal life. It's fascinating what Hezekiah did here. Now I need you to go to Isaiah chapter 38. And I'm not going to finish all this. I'll go a few more minutes. In Isaiah chapter 38, Isaiah pens this account. And Isaiah writes what happens to Hezekiah in his own book that God enabled him to write. Matter of fact, if you look at verses 1 to 8, they're very familiar in Isaiah 38. The declaration to set your house in order. Hezekiah turns and he prays. God gives him the promise there. Verse number 9. The writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. So after God had healed him, Hezekiah writes verses 10 all the way down to verse number 20. Now what these verses are these are a remembrance of Hezekiah in the moments that he was going through as the death sentence was pronounced, how he wrestled with that death sentence, how that he cried out to God for life and God gave him life. And then because he had that life, the joy that burst upon his behavior while he's on the earth. And it's a marvelous testimony of the transformation of a man. And so I thought I would finish our time by reading this testimony. He says in verse number 10, I said in the cutting off of my days, speaking about the promise that he was going to die early, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. He was going to be cut down early. The gates of the grave speak of a finality. He understood that he was not going to finish his whole life. Verse 11, I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord in the land of the living. He's not talking about seeing the physical being of the Lord. He's talking about seeing him in creation, seeing him in his work, seeing him in his movement. Remember all that Hezekiah had experienced, the work of God in his life. It was all going to be over. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is gone and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. I don't know what this thing's doing. He will cut me off with the pining sickness. From day even to night will thou make an end of me. Speaking of the brevity of what was about to happen. I reckoned till morning that as a lion, so will he break all my bones from day even to night without making end of me. Like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. He was scared. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Read those next three words for me. Undertake for me. So when the death sentence came upon him, these were his thoughts. This was the agony of his soul. By the way, let me say this to you in the room tonight, because God has you here for a purpose and a reason. Most people that are under the death sentence of sin in our world don't even know it. They get up, they live life like they're God and like they're king and their plans, and nobody ever told them they were a sinner. Nobody ever told them where they stood before a holy God. Nobody ever told them that they were guilty. Nobody ever told them they needed to be born again. Nobody ever told them that they were sick. By the way, that's the church's job. So you might be sitting here tonight and you've gone to church and church and nobody's ever told you that you need to be born again. You just thought you were a good person or you could do all of this. No, my friend. And so when Hezekiah was confronted with death, it broke him down. Well, when I was confronted that I was a sinner who was going to die and go to hell, it broke me down. And a cry from Hezekiah was, "Undertake for me, God." Verse 15, "What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in a solemn procession, in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit." Now watch this. "So wilt thou recover me and make me to live?" What a great request. Hezekiah didn't want to die. He wanted to be recovered. He wanted to live. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go to hell. If you don't want to go to hell, say amen. I want to live. Pastor, I don't believe in hell. My friend, it has nothing to do with what you believe in. It has everything to do with what's in the Word of God. Matter of fact, I think I read an article this week. I know I did. The Catholic Church is suffering. Those people are suffering so bad. They're suffering bad because their leader now is making public statements that cut at the authority and deity of the Word of God. And he said that hell was a fairy tale. It's an article I read. He said it was like the fairy tale of Adam and Eve. No just and loving, or no loving God would ever send anybody to hell. Let me tell you something. The God of the Bible is love and he is just. And if you go to hell, you go there of your own doing. Hezekiah said, "Will you recover me and make me to live?" God wants people to have salvation. Verse 17, "Behold, for peace I had great bitterness." What a swap. "But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption." And God's people should say, praise the Lord. God loves you. God loves the soul of mankind. Hezekiah is referencing that it's the love of God. "For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." Well, they're under the blood of Christ for us. Verse 18. "For the grave cannot praise thee. Death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth." He's celebrating life. He's celebrating the fact that it was a salvation that took place before he died. And he's saying, man, if you experience death, there's nothing you can do. Verse 19, the living, he shall praise thee. I love that. That's what you and I are to do, church. If you're part of the living, say amen. The living praise thee. as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known thy truth. I love verse number 20. The Lord was ready to save me. The Lord was ready to save me. Let's say that together. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. Hezekiah allowed the gift of life to dominate the behavior of the rest of his life. And he said, the rest of my life, I will sing praises to the Lord. Class, I personally think that the problem with God's people a lot of times is that we forget the awesomeness of salvation. I'm done. We forget that we had a death sentence. We forget that there was no hope for us apart from Jesus Christ. And we got saved, and God gave us life. And instead of allowing the gift of salvation to be so vivid in our mind that it dominates everything about our life, we let other things come into play. Has anybody in the room had a near-death experience? Anytime you should have been killed? You ever shook so bad when it was all over? I've had some moments where I should have been killed. And you get up from that moment, and the first thing you're doing is you're like, and you're shaking, and you try to stop, and I just kept shaking because I should have been dead. And my incident, it was in a car. And so for the rest of that moment, I drove the best anybody has ever driven in the world. Well, I got news for you, people. We should be in hell, but by the mercy of Jesus Christ. And when you lose the understanding of the grace of God in your life, and you let other things, those other things will never bring the supreme joy or song to you like the redemption of Jesus. And Hezekiah said, he was ready to save me. I'll sing my song for all the ages for God to hear. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Shall we pray?